Hi, I'm Alec.
I'm Eric.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode,
Immigrant Song. Two best friends take their band on tour with very different plans for how it's going to end.
I was in the gym with Matthew earlier today, and he made a joke about blackmailing me, and he said, I want $10 million every year for the rest of my life. And I was like, excellent reference, The Dark Knight right there. But then that got me thinking, I would be the most boring person, not to be blackmailed, but to blackmail someone else. Because I would be like, oh no, this is an investment. Like, I could easily get like an extra $20,000 a year out of you. I'm going to put you in business school. Don't worry about it. I'll pay for that. But once you're out, I want you to accept like a stockbroker job and then give me like 20% of your income for the rest of your life.
That's dark.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm on board with this idea, but that there's something dark here.
No, but then I said, oh, and then I like to think we might become friends one day. And I was like, oh, well, there might be a movie idea in there somewhere, like a long form blackmail. And then, you know, to break it down into actual movie idea terms, two people become friends or, you know, acquaintances, allies, as a direct result of one of them committing some vindictive, outright vindictive act against the other one. And I think there's something really cool there. What do you think?
I think there's something there. I like that.
What do you think? Oh, where do we want to take it? What have we done recently? Recent episodes have been violent. Not violent, but action.
That was so long ago, I don't remember.
We recorded that like on Thursday.
Casablanca reference.
So what setting do you think it should be? Because recently we've done a lot of over-the-top action, borderline sci-fi kind of stuff.
I don't know. This strikes me as a very human sort of psychological thriller or drama. It just feels like it occupies that space.
Yeah, guys in suits.
Guys in suits. I was thinking this... I don't know. I was thinking... I was immediately thinking, you know, something urban, guys in suits in the city. But it could just as easily be something more... rural, where guys in the country, where the and the country has secrets with an accent.
Yeah, rural,
which is a surprisingly hard word to say.
Yeah, the rural juror. Making it rural, I get a sort of
in the country.
Making it in the country, I get a vibe of, road. Trips, because movies that are more based in real life, particularly in the country, America, Americana almost kind of style of setting, they're usually, the more successful ones anyway, tend to be road trip, I don't want to lock us into specifically road trip movie, but traveling kind of thing, you know? That way you get a lot of different settings without some far-fetched weird concept to get them there.
Okay, I actually kind of like that. Road trip, okay, I don't know, long-haul trucker forces somebody to accompany him on a road trip.
Yeah.
Because he's seen the other guy, I don't know, commit arson.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Now, this sounds more like really dark comedy.
Yeah. Do we want to make it a dark comedy? Because we have to decide that before we commit to plot points and characters and such.
I admit I'm intrigued but intimidated by the road trip genre, just because, you know, I've never seen a thorough formula for it. But also I think there's a lot of great work that can be done there.
Yeah. When it comes to comedy, I tend to shut down. Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to make something that's not going to be taken seriously. But then I see that you can make a movie that is mostly jokes, mostly humor, while other people would still consider that comedy, just, you know, categorizing it in the umbrella term of comedy, there are things like Fleabag and Succession and a third thing.
Eighth grade, maybe?
Yes, Eighth Grade. That was the third thing. That just because there are jokes doesn't mean the movie or TV show is therefore no longer meant to be taken seriously. And that really bothers me. So let's do it. Let's make another one of those. How about that?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great. It's cool. It's cross-country, gritty, not gritty, but look at humanity and its complex, flawed nature, which also has some jokes.
Yeah. All right. I'm digging this so far.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if, I mean, he can be, the guy blackmailing can be a long-haul trucker. The thing is, I feel we would have a little less freedom when it comes to travel, you know? We could only go where long-haul trucks can make it in. Though, okay. Maybe not. Maybe he ditches his truck or something.
Okay, what about a, I was going to say traveling salesman. That might not really be a job anymore, but there are people, I mean, there are people who travel and try to sell stuff to specific people. It's not like you go door-to-door selling randos. All right.
Banned. I'm watching, here we go, I'm getting it. It's sort of a mix of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and this is going to be a weird one, the character dynamic from season 4 of Infinity Train. And to catch you, Alec, and the audience up to speed, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I can't really remember the premise.
I remember that one.
It was a comedy. Steve Martin and that other guy,
John Candy,
thank you, are stuck with each other trying to make it across the country in X amount of time. John Candy is very happy-go-lucky, just a likable guy. Steve Martin is generic. I think he's a businessman, but very unlikable, not fun to be around. And then Steve Martin like learns how to like be just a nicer guy. It's a comedy. We can pull off of that for inspiration. But the character dynamic is more like season 4 of Infinity Train. There are two guys, they're buds, since essentially birth. And one of them plays like a sort of theremin thing. It looks like a Nintendo DS with a pen and it makes a very electronic sound.
There's a name for that. I don't have the time to remember what it is because yeah. I'm not sure I ever knew it.
We're going to pretend he plays the theremin and the other one plays the guitar. And they're about to start touring when the theremin guy like wusses out. And then the other guy becomes a solo act. And what I'm thinking for our movie, here we go. They have that character dynamic of they were about to start and they were about to like pursue their dream. And one of them wussed out, took the safe route, and he's like planning to, and we can take some freedoms here. He's about to start his new job. He's about to get a promotion. He's about to go to some university when, or maybe they're in the band. Okay, that's it. That's it. That's it. I got it. I'm not even going to tell you. You know what it is.
I know what it is. Like, you know what it is. Why are we even having a podcast?
So, they are in a band and they're about to start touring, but this one guy gets a job offer. Yes, this is really good. This one of them gets a job offer, and then, okay, we're going to go with character A and character B right now. Character A is the one who wants to play it safe, and the band was only like, you know, it was full time, but he was treating it like a side gig, and on the side he was secretly actually putting out job applications and everything. He gets this job, not even a friggin' job offer, just the offer to do the interview, and he's on the short list, but he's confident that he's gonna get it. So he breaks it to character B right before they go on tour. You feeling me?
I am.
And so character A does something, and should it be embarrassing or straight up illegal, that character B blackmails him with.
Okay, now character A is the one with the job interview?
Yes.
All right.
We'll call him Suit and Cool Guy.
Suit and Cool Guy. All right, so Suit. I was going to say that Suit could potentially do something to secure his, to ensure that he gets the job. But if Cool Guy is taking him away from the job, then, I mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Okay, well, I should mention, when I said, this is it, I got it, I forgot to say why I said that. What happens in the end, or the thing that changes people's minds, is...
Spoiler!
The company that suit got the job or the informational interview offer from, something comes out, they committed fraud, they go bankrupt, something like that. And he has this like epiphany, like, oh, I am so good on the road making money like this, and I would have made just like, you know, a little bit more doing that. And I realize they were equally risky, kind of thing, you know? Like, and, you know, because he's so good at managing the band or whatever, it's even, he can justify it being less risky to stick with music. Maybe not the band traveling 24/7, because, you know, everybody grows old and wants to settle down. But, you know, sticking to music, maybe starts a record label or something like that, you know? And the only reason he wanted to move away from the band is because he has these, like, kind of toxic people in his life who are like, come on, get a real job. Be miserable. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, cool. So now we just got to figure out the middle.
You mean the rest of the movie?
Yeah, we have the very beginning and we have the last 5-10 minutes.
I feel like we've got the second to last 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
There's like 5 minutes after that where we actually know what they did, but I take your point.
Word. Okay. So we got the genre. It's a comedy, but to be taken seriously. It's a very real salt of the earth kind of road trip movie. Dramatic comedy kind of thing. So who all is on the road? Okay, we can figure these two things out at the same time. Who all is on the road, and what is the thing that character B has over character A? What is the thing that cool guy has over the suit to convince him to stay with the band? And it's a sort of a goofy movie kind of situation where they're heading in the same direction because his interview is in like North California and the gig is in South California. So they're going the same way for a while, and at the end there will be that, you know, decision, the fork in the road kind of thing.
Okay, well, straight up lies on his resume.
Ooh,
is one option.
That's good. Something, while you think of a second option, I'm gonna just cook up some ideas. Like, straight up, like, oh, I'm fluent in Spanish, and that's what, you know, he lies about something to make him interesting that puts him over the edge, even though he does get the job, he deserves the job, you know, without that lie. It's just like that's what made him cool enough to get the job. So, you know, he's qualified, but he did lie.
Okay. I feel like that there is something here. If they've called cool guy as a character reference, then he has this direct power over him.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of becomes this question of, it's like, I'm gonna hold this over his head. I'm going to threaten to call them back if he doesn't come with me. And I'm going to try and convince him to stay with us, to stay with the band on the road. Because really, I have no intention of following up and giving him his good character reference. Nice. And like, confirming that we worked together at this job, and he did a really good job.
That's really good. I like that.
Because okay. It's like, no matter what, I'm going to tell these people that he just slapped me on there, and I honestly don't think that he deserves to work for you.
All right. Damn. He slept with my wife. Tell that son of a bitch. You know, something.
What?
Like, that's what he's, like, threatening to say.
Yeah.
So, let's come up with some cool stuff. How do they know each other before? They're in the band, and like, they're both, maybe they met in college and they played college gigs, and then like the summer after college is, you know, the tour across the country.
Yeah, I kind of like that. They were both studying something, like something, yeah. music yeah. Something. And
cool guy's
a purist.
Yeah, cool guy studied exclusively music, and then, you know, Suit studied, like,
he minored in music. He studied finance and minored in music.
Right.
And they did a band together. Maybe cool guy dropped out after a couple of years, and he just does the band. He's all music all the time. All about performance. That seems optional.
Yeah. And what was the movie mom?
Fandango.
Fandango. Because we can pull from Fandango, too. because, you know, everyone's buds, but there's, it's not bad blood, it's, you
there's
know,
tension.
There's a little bit of contempt because there's someone thinks someone else is being hypocritical, all that, you know. And so, who all is in the band? Is it just the two guys? Yeah, because Fandango, one of the guys literally didn't do anything.
Yeah, he was asleep
anything.
The whole time. He was so drunk that he fell asleep at the beginning of the movie, and he doesn't wake up until the end.
But he's okay. I thought he was good.
That's not how real life works.
Yeah, realistically, he was dead.
Your friend has alcohol poisoning, yeah. And you need to get them to a hospital if that's happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Look at us. We're saving lives.
And I wasn't even talking about that guy. I was talking about the dude.
He also doesn't say much.
He doesn't say anything. He just drives.
Fandango has 2.5 characters.
That's true. So we could, well, I guess we don't have to come up with that now because we don't have to, like, flesh out serious character dynamics. Because it's not a blanket term comedy, but it is a bit lighthearted when it comes to those extra characters. This is about the main two guys. This could work with the two guys by themselves, two-man band, or like a four-piece band or five. It's just that this is about those two guys. There's also, did you see Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
No, but you've explained it to me.
Yeah, that's about two people in that band. Everybody else is just sort of there to be like, yeah, you go.
More band.
Yeah. Okay, how does this movie start? What is this first scene that's... I guess it could be like a montage. Yeah, credits roll over a montage of the band getting bigger and bigger in college. You know, they play...
I do like that.
They play frat parties, and then they start playing local gigs, and then you see, like, their charts. They're not, like, world famous, but you see them getting bigger over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play the graduation party, and that could be, like, the first scene. Oh, that's good. That's really representative of what's going on.
Yeah,
we've
I like
got,
that.
Yeah, we've got them playing...
We go through a couple of hairstyles to show how time has passed. We get suit... rushing in a couple of times and Mitt, like, being represented as missing some stuff.
Yeah.
Which can be done well in montage.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Eisenstein.
I love montage. I love Eisenstein. So...
I never knew that.
Really?
I didn't know you loved Eisenstein.
Well, it's more that, you know, the guy looking the reaction shot. That's Eisenstein, right?
No, that's the Kuleshov effect.
Oh, okay.
Kuleshov... by the way, is the actor, not the... All right, let's not get into film theory crap.
Okay. Eisenstein was the guy who's all about montage, like cutting things together rather than linear or whatever.
Yeah, that's Eisenstein.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I love Eisenstein. Hmm? So first scene, we're at a graduation party, and it's for like maybe the whole university. Maybe it's like... it's a big graduation party, and... Cool guy is really into the performance. Suit is not really feeling it. He's performing, so like there are shots of, you know, the performance is there. The musical number, diegetic, non-diegetic, are both like, you know, tonally perfect. But there are inserts of Suit just like, you know, making a face and like Cool guy leans on him and he's like, yeah, woo, we're having a good time. And then Suit is like, yeah, I have big news that I don't want to share, but I have to, kind of thing. Graduation party ends, like, it's over, and then, I guess it might make sense for that moment is where, yeah, they're having a conversation back and forth, Cool guy is like, oh, that was great, I'm having so much fun, I can't wait for all our plans, blah, 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 and Suit is like, yeah, about that, I want to mention, da, da, da. A Cool guy's like, no, it's cool, about it. And he interrupts him, not intentionally, but he keeps cutting off Suit, and then Suit is, when he's about to deliver the big news, Cool guy is like, check it out, I booked all these shows without your consent as a surprise. Surprise, your graduation gift from me is like a shitload of shows and this janky van, and we're gonna have a great time playing all these shows living on the road. And the last show is in Southern California, and it's a giant venue to like, you know, thousands of people. It's a big deal. And then, you know, that classic moment, that's right when Suit says, I got a job offer from blah, 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 blah. And then awkward, not awkward pause, but silence. And he says, and I'm taking it. And they're like, oh, we have our inciting moment. We're both quiet to let that sink in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens? What does Suit do... Okay, what does Suit do something that leads to blackmail? Or we keep the cool guy is, you know, a reference on his resume, and then in that case, instead of something developing and Suit doing something, then the situation has to develop that cool guy, you know, figures out he can blackmail him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, then. I think it makes more sense that cool guy figures out he can blackmail him with the resume. But he gets a hold of his resume and he says, you've never worked here.
He says, like, because it can't be resolved all in one conversation. Because if cool guy knows he's a reference on Suit's resume, then, like, we have no reason to not just put that inciting incident right after that moment of, like, well, I'm blackmailing you. All right, let's hit the road. Because that's way too rushed and it's not satisfying. So instead, what we could do is they split up, they fight, they, you know, maybe they do the silent treatment to each other, who knows, but going back and forth. And then cool guy confides in probably another character. And he's, like, sulking, and he's like, I'm gonna have to cancel the show, and he's like, what did he do? And he's like, I don't know, man, here, look at this, here's a copy of the resume, or here's the copy of the cover letter, or whatever. And then he shows it to that third character, and he's, like, on the phone about to cancel the show on the tour, or multiple shows on the tour, and then character goes, I thought he quit this internship. He's like, what? He's like, this internship, he said he had it for, like, 16 months. Didn't he quit that in, like, a single month or something? And he's like, I'll call you right back. Hangs up the phone and he's like, oh yeah. And then we cut to Suit getting ready for the job, and he's like, you know, going out to take the bus or whatever, and then who pulls up but cool guy with a resume and shades on, and he's like, get in, bitch, we're gonna play a show. This is great. Let's come up with the up to about the midpoint. Well, let's come up with three big show pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
not particularly shows, not particularly musical numbers, but three big moments, three big scenes. And one, maybe, we'll come up with four in total, so let's come up with two right now, and then those two will be before whatever we call the midpoint.
Well, if nobody is arrested or nearly arrested in this movie, it's not this movie. If nobody is chased by anybody, either the cops or a group of angry townies, it's also not this movie. There's a girl.
Oh, there's a... How could I forget the girl?
The girl.
But of course. Okay.
Are we doing enough to challenge the genre? No. Go away.
Okay. A girl is great. Not like a love interest... Not like a love interest... girl joining them on the road trip because one of them really likes her or whatever, but like,
no, that's dumb.
Yeah. No one has ever done that because it's a dumb idea.
Love is bad.
That happens all the time. Instead, it's like an avid fan, you know, maybe only one or two years younger than the two of them, who is like, you know, it doesn't just coincidentally happen to get involved. She's like following them on the tour. And she is, like, making herself a part of it. And she finds out because she's prodding so much and, like, trying to figure out about their social lives. Don't be a toxic fan, by the way. This doesn't go even this well in real life. And she finds out they're blackmailing or whatever. And, okay, this is good. They both hate her because she's a fan and she's being a little bit of a toxic fan. But then she finds out about the thing and then she's like, no, this is good. I'm glad he's blackmailing you. And then cool guy is like, oh, hell yeah, up top. And then it becomes like a 2-1 kind of thing. And it's like, no, she's a groupie now. She's dope. I love her. Okay. And then Suit like is that. Like, what? Because he's taking everything too seriously, you see?
Yeah, I do. Okay, I like that.
Okay, so...
It's a movie. It's not real life.
First kind of big scene of the four scenes is they play a show, and maybe we'll decide where and how, and...
That's the scene where someone gets really high.
Maybe?
I'm just picking random road trip stuff.
Oh, okay.
If you make a road trip movie, you pick stuff out of the road trip movie box.
So, there will be five... shows. Well, it might be a lot. Might not be. We'll see. There will be five big scenes. Maybe all of them are shows. The first one of the first... there will be four big scenes before the final fifth scene. The final fifth scene, the finale, is definitely a show. It's the big show they play. That wraps things up, and it's very satisfying. But before then, we have four big scenes. The first one is definitely a show they play. And let's say Suit gets it in his head. Oh, if I fail to perform, then he won't want me on this. And so he throws, he doesn't throw the whole show, but he, like, you know, is, like, super quiet. And he's just like, yes, I will play the piece. No, I will not even interact with the audience kind of thing. And then in between that first show and the second one, the equivalent of Mission Vow rolls up, but more of a spunky fan rolls up, and she makes herself a part of the equation. And then she's the groupie for the second show. And I'm already imagining, like, a physical comedy bit where she's picking up instruments that are way too heavy and they're bigger than her. This is great.
This is great.
And the second big scene...
What's this small woman doing lifting these instruments? Comedy.
Incongruous. So, what is the second big scene? Is it another show?
Second big scene. I think the second big scene, I think it makes sense to have that one not be a show. If there's one... If we're picking just one to not be a show, I think second is a good pick.
Okay, yeah. And we always end before the commercial break on the midpoint twist. Once we figure out the midpoint, and it's usually, I call it the midpoint twist, but it just, you know, some small change has to happen. The midpoint shift, I guess, is more appropriate. And I've already got the second big scene is a sort of party. Maybe it's an after party. Maybe it's just an unprompted party. And then Suit is like, you know what? I won't take that job. There will be more job offers in the future. I'll finish this tour and then I'll leave. And he enjoys the party, and then it's just a fun time for the audience, for all the characters. Party ends, midpoint gets there. Oh, I have a message on my phone. Yeah, we've changed the location of the interview. Instead of doing it, you know, in the middle of nowhere, how about you visit the office in California, like right down the street from that big finale show? And then he's like, holy crap. Cool guy still thinks I'm totally on board with the band and I've given up on this, but now it's a secret.
There you know? We go. Oh. Dueling minds. Truly, this is the spiritual successor to a Goofy movie.
Exactly. It really is. Okay. All right.
Cool. The middle?
Yes. Yeah, after we come back from the commercial break, we'll have thought of the title and the names of all the major characters, and then we'll explain the process of all that. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Hello.
We decided to call the movie Immigrant Song because, one, like, you know, Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, the band in the movie does sort of new age alt-rock covers of classic rock songs, like Led Zeppelin, Van Halen stuff. And we also decided to call it Immigrant Song because the band in the movie will be called The Immigrants.
We decided that it made a lot of sense to tell... different stories about the American immigrant experience, having the guy we've been calling Suit as second-generation immigrant in America. We named him Eduardo. They call him Eddie. And
like Eddie Van Halen.
Our cool guy. I was getting to that. Okay. And our cool guy is a first-generation immigrant from China whose parents could afford to send them to America to get a college education, who has taken the name David Lee, as in David Lee Roth. We're doing the Van Halen crew here, and which I feel like means we'd probably have a couple of Van Halen covers.
Yeah.
Which would be great. I see that. I see the modern alt-rock sound lending itself very well to some Van Halen covers.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
This movie's going to make us a bag. Or whoever, you, listening, planning to steal it right now. So, back to the movie. Midpoint twist, we left off. Eddie finds out, they moved the location of my informational interview. I want this again. So instead of David blackmailing him, he just doesn't know. And then the darkest hour moment of the movie is David finding out again. And let's say instead of, before we decide anything in that third quarter, let's say instead of... Eddie, you know, showing up to the interview and finding out that the company is going bankrupt or something like that, he chooses to just not go. he chooses the band, and he's like, it's like we said, there will be more job offers in the future. And then he finds out that, you know, the company was going bankrupt and all this other stuff after the fact. So that way, he really chose the band. He really chose music. And then we have the whole epiphany, and, you know, corporate life is not as bulletproof as we like to pretend it is, and da-da-da-da-da.
It's crazy. Look it up. The Big Four was the big, like, 10, 20 years ago. I mean, yeah. These companies eat each other, and they spit out you. Rise up, workers of the world.
Yeah. Careers more than anything, but, you know, our way of life is a matter of circumstance more than anything else. Kind of an L. Also, but we shouldn't... We rather than backtracking, because that's boring, if we were to actually try to make this into a movie, we would have to backtrack the moral lesson of, you know, don't let your toxic friends and or family decide your career path for you, like, follow your passion and all of that, because there's honor in honoring your parents, particularly if they had it worse than you and they did something, and they're not forcing you into a quote-unquote safer career path doing finance and all of that, you know what I mean? What was it called? Virtue signaling?
Yeah.
Virtue signaling the show.
And we've turned on our blinkers. I'm kidding.
That was good.
Thank you. I'm proud of it.
So, if we were to make it, we would backtrack, but we're not gonna, because that's boring. And we could if we wanted to. So, now we gotta figure out, after that midpoint, it goes from good times, comedy, bits, watching these people bicker, watching the two guys bicker with each other, and then it's a little dramatic when he's sandbagging on stage, and then he's like, oh, well, and then it becomes just good times, where he's given up on the job, and then at the midpoint, he's committed to the informational interview and the job. And what's the vibe there? What should we decide? Where do we go from there before the darkest hour of David finding out again?
I don't know. I am simply lost for a patch here.
Yeah, it's I don't want to call it the boring part, because it's fun, but thinking of something at this point is just feels so arbitrary. You know, it's like it sort of feels like this part doesn't matter. This part of the movie is usually called the fun and games. It's either the second or third quarter of the movie is called fun and games, and all it really does is ramp up to the next plot point. You know what I'm saying? Like in
yes,
in Parasite, it was in that second quarter there. It's the poorer family, the fun and games of getting away with their sort of scam, and things are going well, and it ramps up to that midpoint plot twist of them going down into the secret basement. Yeah, we put in the third quarter what most movies put in the second quarter, the fun and games.
Right. Well, I mean, then I think it's just like being on tour, and now Eddie is relaxed, and he does feel a little bit guilty for the way things are headed, but he's like, all right, this is just for fun now. This is just for fun as I get on the road with them, and this is like our last goodbye.
Yeah.
This is our last hurrah before I go and live my real life.
We would have to watch a Goofy movie again. A Goofy movie was a musical even. Damn. That movie is great. So we would have to look at that, because at that, we're at the point where Max... What does Maximilian Goof do when he's sort of like in denial, where he's like, that's a bridge I'll cross when I get there, when he has to decide whether they're going fishing or to the Powerline concert?
Wow, I don't know. He doesn't really seem to feel bad at all until the moment.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't feel bad until he finds out that his dad knew, so...
You would be amazed what you can live with if you just quietly lie to yourself.
So, okay. We're going to steal from A Goofy Movie even more.
Even more.
We are going to make it so that instead of darkest hour striking right after David learns that Eduardo switched the plan and is planning to go back to that job again, we're going to put that in that third quarter that's missing after the midpoint. So there's only one or two scenes of Eddie, you know, lying to David, being like, haha, yeah, we're just jamming out. I'm totally not going to ditch you at the end of the tour. David finds out, and then maybe the girl is, you know, she, like, reveals it to David somehow. And then David is like, no, we're buds. He'll tell me. And then he waits and waits and waits, expecting Eddie to, you know, be like, oh, by the way, the interview's back on.
Yeah, and they're in San Francisco, or I don't know why it feels like a good San Francisco is a good place to end. I don't know why. I just figured San Francisco or LA, because those are the only two things in California in my mind.
That's pretty heat, making it so that
it's like we're here and he still hasn't told me.
Right, exactly. And then he gives him the ultimatum, like lets it stick, and he's like, so go make your choice. And then he goes to the show, and then maybe he even goes on stage. That would be really melodramatic, but I would really dig it. David goes out on stage and he's alone and he's like, just starts playing a bit and he's like very sad. And then you hear the piano, bah, and it's like, oh, who's here? Oh, it's him. Yay. Eddie and David. And then they play the best show of their lives. And then instead of that being like right at the end, we have like a longer denouement of, why did you come back, bud? And he's like, oh, well, I mean, I'd rather die on the road playing with my boys rather than living on my knees, or whatever Zapata said.
That's bleak.
I don't know if even Zapata said that. I got that from Ocean's 13. Maybe that was Pancho Villa who actually said that. Anyway.
No, it was It was Zapata.
Oh, okay. When? Where?
I don't know if he actually said it, but they were quoting Zapata. He may or may not have actually said that.
I know they were quoting Zapata in the movie Ocean's 13, but I'm pretty sure it's Pancho Villa who actually said it.
Oh, well, that's interesting. We'll look into Mexican history later.
The Robin Hood of Mexico. Anyway, so I feel like, are we missing anything?
We forgot to say that we've had the girl, we've so affectionately named her.
The girl.
Has taken on the nickname. We were sort of between the nicknames Yoko and Stevie, after Stevie Nicks, and we figured she'd want to opt for intense, cool Stevie Nicks over famous for destroying the band Yoko Ono.
Yeah, word. All right, so they'll call her Stevie. Yeah, definitely. Okay. I feel that this story's potential is tapped.
I hate it when you do that.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I thought it'd be funny to say.
So, the end?
The end.
The end.
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.